Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
God's put a word on my heart this morning that I feel is very relevant for where many of us may be at right now coming out of this interesting season. So believing it's going to bless your heart. If you've got a Bible, if you've got a hardback Bible, bless you. If you've got a iSomething or a Samsung, we're going to go to Psalm 23 and we're going to read the first three verses of Psalm 23. Most of you will know it off by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That sounds nice. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I'll say that again. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Father, we thank you so much this morning that we can gather again. God, we thank you for the beauty of your church. God, we thank you that the church was your idea. It was not some man or woman's idea. God, that we are not an organization, God, but we are a community of people that have encountered your grace, that have encountered your love, your saving power, and now we are on mission to take that same power to those around us. And God, I ask that today we would not take your word for granted. We would not take your people for granted. We would not take the blessing that you've poured into our lives for granted. But Holy Spirit, we want to sense you. We want to encounter you. We want to be changed and transformed by your word. We don't open your word this morning for information alone, but to have an encounter with the living God, to have our hearts and our minds renewed and uplifted and transformed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, everyone said, amen. Just because you're wearing masks doesn't mean I don't want to hear you this morning. Just project straight through those masks so we can go on this journey together. The title of this morning's message is The Restored Soul. The Restored Soul. I had a friend call me up. It's good that I've got friends. A friend called me up a few weeks ago during lockdown and asked me a really simple question. He said to me, Luke, how are you doing? Like, we're obviously in lockdown. There's a lot going on. How are you personally doing? And in that moment, as he asked that question, I kind of thought to myself, okay, there's two ways I can answer this question. I can either give him a really superficial answer. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Everything's great. You just got to push through, you know, push through. Or I can give him a vulnerable answer and I can share what's troubling my heart. I can share what is challenging me in this season. And the truth is often when we are asked this question, we tend to use outside indicators of success to prove how okay we are. We respond and we point to outside indicators of success to point to how okay we are. But the reality is this question, how are you doing, isn't about achievements. It's not about what's going on externally, but it's really about what's going on internally. It's about what's taking place in our hearts, what's going on in our souls. It's about our thoughts and our desires and our emotions. And I find it interesting that we place so much value on our physical health. I mean, we regularly go to the doctor for health checkups. At least we should. I don't always do that. We invest time and energy into looking after our nutrition and our fitness. Well, most of us have at least got aspirations to look after our fitness. Who knows? Melbourne winter can be a challenging time to be motivated. That we place this emphasis on outside external health. But how often do we actually stop to ask the question, how am I really doing internally? How is my soul prospering right now? What does my life, how am I doing spiritually? What is the state of my soul right now? I'm not asking how are your kids doing. We need to look after our kids. I'm not asking about your bank balance, not asking about your business, but how are you doing personally, spiritually in the deeper places of our heart. And when we talk about the soul, we're talking about our inner self. It's not this, you know, mysterious kind of what is that vague thing. It's our eternal self. The soul is the seat of our deepest emotions, thoughts, desires, and longings. And the truth is, most of us rarely inspect the state of our souls. We are often so busy responding to the external demands of life that we rarely take the time to respond to what is going on internally. How true is that? Life can be busy. The demands are real. Let's be honest. There's all kinds of things we need to respond to in our lives. And we can get so busy with the details of our external world that we don't stop to go, hey, where am I at spiritually? Where am I at internally? And here's the thing. If we fail to attend to the needs of our spirit long enough, it will eventually catch up with us. It will eventually catch up with us. Many of you would have heard the really sad, tragic news about the former Hillsong New York pastor, Pastor Carl Lentz, who came out earlier this year and shared that he had been unfaithful, had had an ongoing affair. And not long after that came out, he actually shared something on his Instagram and shared some insights as to what had gone on in his own personal life. And hear these words. This is what he said. Over the years, I did not do an adequate job of protecting my own spirit, refilling my soul, and reaching out to the readily available help that is available. When you lead out of a place of an empty place, you make choices that have real and painful consequences. These honest words highlight to me the responsibility every single one of us have to steward our internal worlds, to refill our souls, to invite God to fill us afresh in the deepest parts of who we are, to reach out to those around us when we need someone to pray with us, when we need someone to support us. There is readily available help, but we don't always reach out for that help. And can I say this morning, the days of Jesus followers projecting this narrative that Christians don't struggle needs to come to an end. I mean, we've been in COVID, we've had a year and a half of all kinds of things going on. Let's not pretend everything is rosy all the time. The days of Christians and Christian leaders rocking up to church, putting up a facade and acting like they don't struggle and they don't have weaknesses and there's not challenges in their world, those days need to come to an end. If there is one thing this world is looking for right now, it is authenticity. What the church needs is authenticity. What your partner needs is authenticity. What your kids need is authenticity, a real faith that shares the challenges and the struggles of this life. Because yes, we are victorious in Christ and we've heard about that, but that doesn't mean we're not living in a fallen world and we don't have challenges going on in our lives. Over the past 1.5 years, I think one of the things COVID has been doing is it's been stripping back superficiality. I don't know if you sense it, but there's a desire within the hearts of humanity right now for what is genuine, what is real, and what is authentic like never before. And in a moment of time, people can see through a facade, they can see through what is not real. And as a church, we have an opportunity like never before to present to the world a real, genuine, authentic faith. Grace that really changes our lives and our worlds. Can you say amen this morning? 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." See, external prosperity, material prosperity has a place in our world. Let's not deny it. But I tell you what is so much more important than anything in the external is that we would be prospering in our souls, that we would be prospering in our hearts, in our internal worlds, but that we would come to a place of health. What is happening on the inside really matters. And this is why Jesus said, If man gains the world but forfeits his own soul, what good is it to him? Jesus says those profound words in Mark 8:36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? All of life begins on the inside. We don't live from the outside in, but we live from the inside out. If we are going to be fruitful in life, if our lives are going to prosper, if our marriages, our families, our businesses are going to prosper, may I submit to us this morning that it starts internally. It starts as we prosper internally in our souls, and it begins to overflow into our relationships and to the other areas of our lives. The best thing you can give someone else is a healthy soul. The greatest gift that you can give someone else is a healthy soul. See, the greatest gift I can give, the greatest gift I can give my kids is a healthy soul. I mean, holidays are amazing. A great education is good. All these other external things matter and they have a priority and they are important. But the greatest gift that you can pass on or offer someone else is the best version of who you are, is a healthy version of who you are on the inside. Is this okay? I know it's a little deep, but I think we need to be real, especially at a time like this. So I want to ask the question right now, what does the Bible have to say about how to cultivate a healthy soul? What can we do? What are the things we can do for our soul in order for it to prosper? The first thing is this, we need to know Jesus as shepherd, not just as Lord. We need to know Jesus as shepherd, not just as Lord. Psalm 23, we heard, it says that Jesus, our shepherd, leads us to green pastures and still waters. He restores our souls. And in 1 Peter 2:25, it says, for you were like sheep going astray, but hear this, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Many of us find it easy to relate to Jesus as King, as Lord, as the sovereign one in our lives. For many of us, that's because of the way we were raised, maybe with a authoritative kind of figure in our lives. And that's not a bad thing, but we have to go beyond that and realize that Jesus also wants to be our shepherd. He wants to be our good shepherd, and the shepherd's primary role is to care for the sheep, is to look after the sheep and the well-being of the sheep. Jesus cares deeply about the condition of your soul. He doesn't just check in occasionally on how you're doing, but Peter has just told us here that he is the overseer of our souls. He oversees our internal world. From moment to moment, it's not like God occasionally when he gets time, you know, a few times a year does an annual checkup on how you guys are going. But he is a shepherd that is so concerned that he oversees the health and the well-being of your soul. If you're weary today, you don't need to sleep, because sleep cures physical tiredness, but it does not cure a weary soul. You see, this morning, if you're feeling a bit weary, if you're feeling a bit spiritually dry, if you're feeling run down spiritually, what you need is the good shepherd's presence in your life. What you need is to be filled with his peace and his rest and his goodness and his life and his contentment. That is what he has come to give to us. It tells us, Psalm 23, that he restores our soul. I don't know about you, but there's just times where I need God to come and do a deep work within me to restore my soul. Another translation says he refreshes your soul. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people in Melbourne right now that could do with a soul that is refreshed, that is energized, that is cleansed, that is purified. Allow the good shepherd to work deep within our souls. And when the psalmist is talking about Jesus leading us to still waters, to green pastures and a place of rest, he's not talking about a physical place. I grew up, if he was, all of us would be where I grew up. Many of my years growing up, I lived in Hillsville with my mum. We literally lived at the bottom of a mountain range. Right out the front of our house was a beautiful, peaceful little stream. And if this is what the psalmist was talking about, all of us would be living out there in Hillsville at the bottom of the mountains where it is nice and quiet. But let me tell you, as a teenager, as a 14-year-old, I did not want to stay at the bottom of a mountain where no one else was. I wanted to get amongst it and be where the people were. So we don't have to have a desire to live in a place like that, because God here, Jesus, is talking about a spiritual place, not a physical place. He's talking about a place where he leads us, where we can encounter spiritual rest, where we can encounter peace, where we can encounter joy, where we can encounter contentment. Do those things sound appealing to you? We can rest because he is responsible for leading. See, true rest is unattainable for people that are obsessed with leading their own lives. A restless soul is a soul that feels it needs to be in control of the direction of its life and needs to take charge in all things. If we are constantly in a perpetual place of, I've got to lead, I've got to make the decision, it's all on me, guess what? Our souls will be restless. Our souls will be run down. Our souls will be overwhelmed. But there's someone else that we can rely on. There's someone else that we can come to. You see, we need to remember, when we rest, God does not rest. When we sleep, God does not sleep. When we take a break from work and the weight of life, God is not taking a break from everything else that's going on in your life. He takes no breaks. He neither sleeps nor slumbers, and that's why we can rest. That's why we can abide in him. Have you ever noticed that sheep don't strive? I mean, think about it, a picture of sheep in a paddock, a green field. You don't see them striving. You don't see them frantically running around, unless a wolf rocks up, of course. But sheep, they're there hanging out with each other, eating grass, chilling out. To be honest, there's moments in my life where the demands are high and the pace is fast and there's a lot going on. I look at an animal like a sheep and I'm like, wow, what a life. What a life. Just enjoying the good life, just grazing, just chilling out. The reason that sheep could rest in the ancient Middle East was because they always had a shepherd overseeing them, because they knew they could trust the shepherd who would lead them to green pastures, who would lead them to still waters. And I don't know, but I think sometimes you and I could afford to look more like sheep, where we strive less, where we try and lead our own lives less, and we allow the shepherd to lead us, where we don't try harder, but where we trust better. Some of us need to hear that this morning in life. We're working really hard, trying to line up all of our ducks, get them in a line, make everything happen. And we're so busy trying that we've forgotten to trust. And what's more powerful than trying really hard is trusting better. But when we do both, when we are diligent and good stewards and we work hard and we're responsible, plus we trust the good shepherd, good things happen. And we are good on the inside. The second thing is this. The first thing was, we need to see Jesus not just as Lord, but as shepherd. The second thing is this. If we are going to have healthy, prosperous souls, we need to invest in authentic, life-giving relationships. As God was creating the world, as he was putting the stars in the sky, creating the sea, the trees, all these things, what did he keep saying time and time again? He would say, and it was good. And it was good. And he got to the end of creation and he said, and it was very good. And it was so good that he took the seventh day off. He chilled out, he rested, because it was so good. Eden was a place of paradise and harmony and perfection, but there was just one thing that God said was not good. One thing God said was not good. He said in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. In other words, it's not good for humanity to be alone. You see, we are relational beings. We were created in the image of a relational God. Well before we existed, God existed in perfect community and harmony. Harmony, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they lived together in relationship well before we got on the scene. We were created in the image of a relational God. We were made for relationship. And some of you may be like, Luke, we get it. Like, all of us are in relationships. I've got a mom, a dad, a friend, a partner, whatever it is, I've got relationships. What are you getting at? The reality is, all of us can exist in relationships while still feeling like we're not fully known, while still feeling like, you better be careful amening that because you're sitting next to your husband, but we know what you meant. We know what you meant. You're encouraging the preacher. Sorry, she likes the word. But all of us can exist in relationships and feel like there's not a fullness there. Like there's a loneliness at times. And that's why this point isn't we all need to have relationships, but the point is we all need to invest in authentic, life-giving relationships. Deep connection from one soul to another soul takes place through vulnerability. If you're truly going to connect with someone else in a deep, life-giving way, let me encourage you, don't always share your highlights reel with them. Don't always approach the relationship going, yeah, I'm just dominating at life and this is working out and I made this happen and wow, things are going really well, and you're sharing that so you feel good about yourself and the other person's left feeling average. The best way we can approach relationships if we want deep connection is to actually share the challenges of our heart, to share the things that aren't going well, to share some of our struggles, to be vulnerable in that relationship. Brené Brown says, staying vulnerable is a risk we have to take if we want to experience connection. It can be a risk and we need to do it with the right people, but on the other side of our vulnerability is often deep connection, soul to soul connection. Healthy relationships fill our souls. But how many of you have noticed unhealthy relationships have a way of eroding our souls, of crushing our souls? An unhealthy relationship can literally shape someone's life for many, many years to come. We need to be intentional about investing in healthy, authentic, life-giving relationships. Let's be careful and intentional about our friendships and relationships. Many of you have heard the quote, show me your friends and I will show you your future. And to be honest, a lot of us as adults, we are mature here, we're spiritual, we've got things in the right place. Often we hear a quote like this and we're going, yeah, that's so relevant to my kids. That is so relevant to my teenagers. Like some of the decisions my teenagers are making right now, the friends they are choosing, the parties they are going to, the clothes they are wearing, like they need to hear Pastor Luke's sermon, like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. But I believe we never grow beyond that quote, because your inner circle will have such a dramatic impact on the future of your life. Your inner circle, your closest people will shape your life more than you know, will have a greater impact than we know. What are your friends like? Are they encouraging? Are they uplifting? Or are they critical? Are they competitive? Let's be really intentional. Hear me this morning. I'm not saying walk away from church this morning and just cut everyone off. Please don't say, Pastor Luke, you call someone up, Luke told me I need to cut you off today. Like if I want to have a healthy soul, it's over. That's not what I'm talking about. But let's be intentional about building those relationships. The third thing is this. We need to regularly detox our souls. It's been said that we are a body with a soul. Sorry, it's been said we're not a body with a soul, but we're a soul with a body. And just as bodies, physical bodies, need to regularly detox, that's a healthy thing, how much more do our souls need to detox from some things in this world? Just to let some of those things go. Our physical bodies get a lot of attention in this society. You think about the beauty industry, the fitness industry, the health industry. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. Like you've got all kinds of people investing money into these industries. And I had a moment the other day, I'll be vulnerable with you, where I was like, if I'm going to keep up with some of these celebrity pastors, I need some Botox in this forehead, because these lines, I'm 33, but they are getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Would you come back to the church if your pastor got Botox? Not one of you would. We're not in America. Let me put everything at ease. That was a joke. I will never, never get Botox. Actually, I'm 33. Maybe I shouldn't make statements that grand at such a young age. We'll see. But it is an industry that billions of dollars are invested into. But here's the point. There is no point impressing the world around us and all our social media followers with a beautiful body and a perfectly manicured face if we are not healthy where it matters most. In our hearts, in our souls, you could have an external world that looks perfect, the perfect car, a big house, kids that seem to follow all the rules and instructions. They're intelligent, they're overdeveloped, they're overachieving, and everyone's like, wow, your family is incredible. You've got a dog that sits when you tell it to sit. It comes back when you call that dog to come back, and you put it all over social media. Everyone's like, wow, that is incredible. And then at night, you go to put your head on the pillow and you go, I feel empty. I don't feel well internally. No one knows about it, but things aren't good where it matters most. Let's be a people that care more about our internal worlds than the external world. Let's be a people that invest more in our internal world than having all the ducks in a line in our external world. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, as the worship team join me. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires, hear this, which wage war against your soul. Peter is saying that our sinful nature, our flesh, all of us have one, all of us are on a journey, is literally waging war against our souls. And not only that, if you want some more good news, not only is our flesh and sinful nature waging war, but the enemy is waging war against our souls. The culture, the progressive culture we live in, is waging war against our souls and our belief systems and all those things. And this can be confronting, but it's the reality. And this is why we need to be serious about guarding and protecting our minds. Guarding and protecting our spirits, our hearts, guarding them and not allowing the wrong things to come in. I don't know if you guys remember when you're a kid, I'm sure some of us can, but when you're young, you're like, I just want to eat lollies all the time. Like when I get older and I've got more than this lousy pocket money I'm earning right now, when I've got my own money, I'm going to eat lots of lollies. I'm going to eat lots of ice cream. I'm going to watch movies all the time. Life will be amazing. You think like this as a six-year-old, like life will be amazing. But then you get a bit older and you get to a point where you realize, if I approach life like that, then I'm not going to like what I see in the mirror at all. If I just eat lollies, watch movies. You see, sometimes we need to say a really intentional no. Sometimes we need to say a necessary no. Things you could say yes to, sometimes we need to say no to. Sometimes the best thing you can do for your soul is to say no to that thing that you know isn't going to help your soul. It's not necessarily bad, but is it going to build up your soul? Is it going to build up your spirit? And the Bible says that our souls are like wells. And in a well that's full of water, you can either have really clean water or you can have really polluted water. And the truth this morning is the thing that determines what will flow out of your life is what you allow to flow into your life. What do you allow to flow into the deepest part of who you are, into your soul? Can I encourage you? Really, really matters. Sometimes we just live life on autopilot and we're going through the motions and there's no awareness around what we're actually allowing into our lives. But this really, really matters. And if we spend our time, hear this, if we spend our time listening to bad news all the time, negativity, hanging out with critical people, watching movies on Netflix that fill our hearts with fear and fill us with darkness and make us worry about life, guess what? We're going to have a soul that is feeling a bit polluted, that's feeling like it's not as whole and clean as it could be. Sometimes we need to detox from these things. Sometimes we just literally need to go, I'm having a break from social media. I'm having a break from movies that make me fearful, that make me scared. I'm having a break from that relationship because I'm putting some healthy distance there, because every time I'm around that person, I walk away feeling anxious, I walk away feeling overwhelmed, and I know that it's not good for my soul. I'm having a break from some of those negative voices. We need to be intentional, really intentional about this. One of the blessings of these lockdowns, we've definitely had a few of them now, we're known as the lockdown state, but during the extended lockdown last year, 2020, I was able to do some things that I hadn't done, that I'd been wanting to do for a long time, and I'm sure many of us did this, and I finally got to the point of cleaning out our garage. Our garage was a mess. There was clutter everywhere. There was rubbish everywhere. And every time I walked into my garage, I'd feel like, Luke, you need to lift your game. Like, I'd feel like it's closing in on me. And it's like, I don't feel good walking in here. So I'm just going to avoid the garage, park the car out on the street, out of sight, out of mind, they say. But finally, I got to a point where I cleaned up this garage. Because I'd accumulated so much stuff over the years that we didn't need as a family, and we finally cleaned it out. And after that point, walking into the garage, things were hanging neatly on hooks off the wall, in the bookshelf, in the drawers. It felt amazing. When you clean out your closet, it's the same feeling. You feel like, ah, there's space. This is a good thing. And how true is it that in the exact same way as we journey through life, we can accumulate things in our hearts, in our spirits that take up space, that clutter our hearts, things that aren't necessarily helping us. And I think there comes a time in life where we need to slow down long enough to say, okay, what have I accumulated in my heart? What have I accumulated in my spirit that I need to offload today, that I need to wave goodbye to? Sometimes we just need to serve an eviction notice on things that have got into our hearts that we know are not healthy for us. Whether it's worry, concern, whether it's offense or unforgiveness, whether it's thinking patterns that aren't helping us, there's certain things that we just need to offload and say, God, I'm giving them to you.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.